Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and each week I am truly honored to share the microphone with the most interesting people. Now, these are people who are business leaders, they are authors, they are speakers, they may be virtual assistants or web developers, but these are people who have wonderful stories to share about their journey, and they're excited to freely share their journeys, their business wisdom, their tips, and best of all, their actionable advice. In short, they're willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. In fact, my guests are so compelling and so insightful that this podcast was recently written up on Inc.com as one of the best business podcasts you need to be listening to now, and has also been mentioned on Entrepreneur and MSNBC. And our topic today is one that I think is very, very important, especially for those of us in the online marketing world. It's helpful marketing in a very noisy world with my guest, Dan Moyle. Now, Dan Moyle promotes helpful, engaging marketing over interruptive advertising. We're going to talk a lot about that. He comes to marketing from the TV news business and brings a wealth of knowledge from writing to video production to multimedia content creation and a ton more. And his motto is he'd rather help someone reach 50 ideal customers than 5,000 passive viewers. Dan is also a believer in servant leadership, and he can be found behind the scenes at work with organizations like Talents Out, Honor Flight, I love that, and Interview Valet, lifting others up with service and a strong work ethic. He is most proud of creating engaging marketing in a very boring industry, so be sure when you connect with him on social media, ask him just how in the world mortgages can be interesting. I can't picture it myself. And be sure to download his free book, How I Turned Journalism into an Inbound Marketing Career. The links to that are in the show notes. Dan, good morning. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm so excited to have you here.
Good morning, Denise. Thank you for having me. I never sound so good as I do in an intro like that. Thank you so much for that.
Well, you know, it's all true. I do my research. Every bit of it is true. Before we get going, tell people a little bit about yourself that I may have missed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, professionally, I think you kind of hit everything for me. On a personal level, I'm just someone who believes in serving others. I'm a married father of two in a blended family. So that means my wife and I both come from previous marriages, and we each brought a child into it. So we're just trying to figure out this world that's in front of us and doing it with a smile. And, my passions outside of work and helping others include, motorcycles. So I'm a big, bad biker. everybody knows, bikers aren't
tattoos.
That bad. I do have a couple of tattoos.
I read that you're a tattooed dad, and I went, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. So, yeah, that's me. I mean, I love having fun and serving others and just hopefully making the world a little bit brighter place.
And, you know, that's all you can do. And especially these days when everybody and their grandmother and their dog appears to be offended by something, I get very tired of it. So I'm just going to tell you right
Amen.
Now, that does not wash with me. You want to be offended?
Yep.
Go somewhere else. I don't really care. But you're right. I mean, the best thing we can do is get up every day, do our absolute best, and do it with genuine joy. I mean, that's how I operate.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that about you. I mean, following along on social media with you for the last few months that we've connected and everything. I mean, you definitely bring a joy to the world and a sense of humor that I really appreciate. So this is an absolute pleasure.
Well, thank you for saying it's a sense of humor. My mother actually describes it as me being an educated smartass, which could be the same thing.
I love that. Yes.
That's my mom.
go.
Where do you think I get it from? So listen, we've been chatting a bit, and of course I'm very familiar with Interview Valley. We can talk a bit about that because it's important to what you do and how people kind of get heard out there in the world. It is a very busy space out there, no question about it. I mean, we're always, and I'm sure this happens to you, Dan, you open up your email and you're just bombarded with, oh, you've got to do this, and this is the one thing that's going to get you heard or seen or sell your product. And there really is no one thing. Here's my thinking, and I'd love to hear what you say. I think, as I said in the very beginning of the show, it's, you know, people have to know us, like us, and trust us. I don't think it's network marketing so much as personality marketing, who you are, what you bring to the table. So go. I can't wait to hear what you say about that.
Oh, I love how you said that, personality marketing. Goodness. Yeah. We do business with people, right? I mean, obviously there are the big companies, no doubt about it, but in general, our everyday life, we do business with people, and with companies run by people that we like, or, you know, any kind of connection to a company with people that we like. Personality marketing is a great way to say it. The know, like, and trust economy is a great way to say it. And I hadn't thought about it as personality marketing before. That's awesome. We come at it from, I personally, but also Tom, who founded the company I work with, we come at it from an abundance.
Tom
mentality.
Schwab, he's been a guest.
Yes. Yeah. Tom Schwab, great guy. It's an abundance mentality. You know, you bring your personality to the business world, and there's so much business to be had that we don't have to fight over it, and we don't have to get so noisy. We just have to be authentic and let that personality shine through and highlight it in our marketing. But at the end of the day, it's doing business, right? And it's communicating the way we want to communicate and the way that our customers want to communicate. And letting that personality shine through rather than trying to shout above everybody. I love that idea.
Well, it does make sense to me because, listen, the email list that I stick with are the ones that I really can resonate with, the person telling the tale, telling the story, telling me why what she or he does actually works. I mean, that works for me. But when I get somebody saying, oh, you know, I'm a guru and you've got to follow me, and it happens. I mean, we get some emails that I just look at them and go, why did you just call me babe or goddess or juicy or it, you saw my string the other day on Facebook. Some words just make me go, don't talk to me like I'm an adult and we'll get along just fine. but my point is I tend to read and purchase from the people that I really like their personalities, how they present themselves and how congruent they are with their marketing and their advice and their tips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I found great success in that when I was using marketing with like you said, the boring mortgages. It's not that they have to be super engaging. And I used to call it sexy advertising, right? Boring industries, you know, and I'm not going to sell a beer. I'm not selling cars. I'm not selling the next great clothing. I'm selling mortgages. It's not sexy advertising. But it's that personality of wanting to help someone, being real with them, being authentic, talking to them about what it's like to own a home or whatever it is. And personality, you know, not being over the top. Hey, I'm going to market to millennials and be super hip. And oh gosh, I'm a 40-year-old guy that has no idea what millennials want, you know?
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. You know me, my picture is not out on the internet. In fact, there's a comment on Facebook this morning. I was sitting out on my back porch and I was under a big fluffy blanket and my foot was sticking out. And a friend of mine said, oh my gosh, you know, I can see your foot. That's the most we've ever seen of you. And my response was, well, it's proof of life. You know, I actually do exist. But the thing is, I don't feel that you have to be so over the top. Your picture's here. You're wearing a boa. You know, you're wearing a low-cut top. You're on a bikini. I find a lot of that a little distressing, to be honest with you, because I think it distracts from your true message. And the message for all of us in the internet space is that we have these gifts. We do have gifts. There's no question about it. We have services. We have soft skills, hard skills, and we're here to help you. We're not here to bombard you with how cute we are.
Yeah.
At least that's my personal attitude.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think being helpful and being kind goes so much further than trying to make yourself the guru or shout louder or, you know, use some kind of, you know, trick for marketing. I can't stand that trickster marketing, I guess I would call it. Yeah, just be authentic and share your message and do it where your audience is, you know.
Exactly. And that leads me back to one of your points, which is helpful marketing. So for our audience, how do you describe helpful marketing and what steps should they take? What things should they really keep in mind?
You know, I think it's telling the story of the consumer. You know, if you think about whatever your business is, you think of your ideal customer, your buyer persona. You know, look at things like demographics, of course, you know, age, gender, this kind of thing. But also the psychographics, the behavioral patterns. Where do they spend their time? Why do they need my service or product? What problem are we solving for them? So that you tell your story of your company, your product, your service, your talents through the eyes of the consumer. This is the problem that you have, consumer. You know, if you're, you know, buyer Betty or buyer Bob or whatever, right? This is what buyer Betty is looking to solve with my product. I don't need to tell her how amazing the product is and how great I am and how, you know, it's going to make your life a million times better and I'm the guru. You just go at it by helping Betty solve her problem. And hopefully at some point that means using your product, you know. So for us at a mortgage company before I was with Interview Valet, it was, you know, talking about things like how to save for a down payment. You know, yes, there are zero down mortgages out there, and they are legitimate. There's a couple of them. There's a rural development one and a Veterans Association, a VA loan. But if you don't fit into those, then you're going to need, you know, 3% down or something like that, right? Here's how you solve for that problem. Talking about credit scores and how to maintain a good credit score without spending a bunch of money on, you know, credit repair and all these other things that there are legitimate services out there for it, but in general, it's not the greatest industry. So it's us as a mortgage company helping our buyers solve their problem when they're ready to solve it. You know, I never wanted to go knock on a bunch of apartment complex doors and say, hey, you should buy a house. Have you ever thought about a mortgage? But once they start to think about, man, I want to get out of this house, out of this apartment. My neighbors are terrible. You know, how do I save for a down payment? We would have the material to help them. Checklists, e-books or digital guides or white papers, whatever you want to call that, you know, a downloadable PDF, infographics, videos. I love using video in my marketing at the mortgage company and just having interviews with people who talk about how to do these things. And again, in a very authentic, real voice. We're not going to fill it with jargon. We're not going to fill it with a bunch of I'm trying to be hip. You know, we're going to use all the text message lingo. We're just going to talk real to you as a person because you are an adult. You do need to know this information, and we're going to package it in a way that's understandable, but it's not so flashy that you're going, what did I just watch? So that to me is what helpful marketing
is. Right. And evergreen. I don't think a lot of people think about these things, but, you know, the internet is kind of forever, and you can put something out that may make perfect sense in the jargon of the day, so to speak, but, you know, a month or two or five down the road, people are going, oh, man, okay, that's just outdated. But if you keep it helpful, you use real language, it can be evergreen, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, I agree completely. Absolutely. It is nice to have timely, you know, newsjacking type stuff, but you have to have the evergreen thing. You know, when I first started with the mortgage company, they had some videos they wanted to go viral. They wanted to be timely. They wanted to be funny. They wanted to be all these things. And it's like, okay, great. But if one of those gets a million views and we have all those people come to us, we have zero content to help. What are we going to do? So it's like, don't try to be that clever, super sneaky, viral, whatever, at least until you have that helpful content that is evergreen. So when they do come back and look at it and they go, oh, this makes sense. You know, the video might be 2 or 3 years old, but if the information is the same, no problem. And if it's been updated, then put a link in the description or put a CTA on it or something that says updated info for this year and link it to the new one. But yeah, helpful marketing is so much more evergreen than trying to be, you know, funny or timely or whatever it is. And just people come back to it. Absolutely.
I find that too, because I'm one of those people that says Google is your friend. You know, I spend a lot of time lurking in Facebook groups and LinkedIn groups just to see what's going on, you know, what's going on in my industries, both of them, and, you know, see who's doing what. And one of my biggest gripes, I'll be honest with you, is people not doing a bit of research before they just ask for somebody to bail them out of whatever, you know, issue they have with WordPress or, you know, how do you do this? Like, you didn't even look this up, did you? So that being said, I spend a lot of time on Google and YouTube. I mean, I found out that I turned my refrigerator off with my butt one day. Seriously. By leaning against it and hitting the little lock on my ice machine and water. I couldn't get water or ice. Well, I had picked up my cat, leaned against the refrigerator, and hit it with my bottom, turned it off. I found out how to fix it on YouTube.
So, oh, that's awesome.
Well, you know, lesson here is don't lean against the fridge when you're wearing, you know, stilettos. Just don't do it. You're right, because if you keep it evergreen, if you keep it updated, people will come back to these things over and over again. And if they like your content, they're going to, you know, put you in their favorites. And they're always going to come to you first when they need information about whatever problem or issue it is that they're looking for information on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's that trust factor, right? And it's a karma thing, too, I think. You know, there again, going back to the mortgage industry, we were a regional bank that had offices in only certain states, but our content reached the world. It's the World Wide Web, right? but our content reached everybody. And so even when someone in a state that we didn't serve had a question, and we'd answer it. You know, look, we can answer your question with what we know about our states. This may differ in yours, so find an expert, but here's what we know. And it just what goes around comes around. I mean, it truly does. And so, you know, evergreen, helpful, engaging, they will trust you. It's that know, like, and trust economy. Yeah, I love this kind of marketing.
Oh, I do too. And I mean, when I discovered it a long time ago, I mean, I was doing this kind of marketing, honestly, when the internet for us outside of the military was a pretty new thing. My very first website was blue and white. That's all we had. We didn't have GUI, graphical user interface. We didn't have all the neat, flashy things that we have now, but I knew that I had to talk with my audience, whoever they were, wherever they were. I knew I had to offer solutions, tips, advice, even then. I mean, it just makes sense. It should be instinctual, but I find that it's not. Do you find that too? When people are coming to you and saying, help me, and then you look at what they're doing and go, ooh, okay.
Yeah, you know, these great big graphics on their website to say, you know, $1 million idea, the, like you said, the one thing that'll make you the most successful person ever. I'm the guru. And like, hold on. How do you want to help others? Yeah, absolutely. I find that too. And it's a little disturbing. and it's not a new idea. I mean, I look at, you know, whatever you call it, helpful marketing, content marketing, inbound marketing, whatever you call it, it's been around forever. I mean, I look back at content marketing is starting back, I don't know if it started, but it was certainly around back in the 1800s when John Deere published the Furrows magazine, just a magazine for farmers, you know, content that they would want to look at, and they began to trust John Deere and look, you know, they're still around.
No kidding.
So
I didn't know that. Now I'm going to have to go read about that. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's talk about inbound marketing, because I can feel some of our audience going, oh God, what is it and how do I do it?
Mm-hmm. So there's a couple different ways to define inbound marketing, but I kind of, you know, there again, I'm going to break it down to simplistic terms, right? Inbound marketing is rather than trying to go out and push your message and interrupt people's days, you create the content and the systems that bring them in to you, hence inbound. So it's like little magnets, you know, whether it's blog articles, videos, white papers, PDFs, infographics, social media posts, you know, Instagram posts, whatever it is, it becomes a magnet to folks as they search out their answers. So inbound is taking somebody in their buyer's journey when they know they have a problem, they're starting to search for answers, and you become that subject matter expert for them. And so it's a way to attract, number one. So you attract those viewers or visitors to your website, to your social media, whatever it is. You convert them into leads and then close them into customers, and you delight them So they become your evangelist out in the world, and they give you reviews. They tell your people, their friends to come to you or whatever it is. So it's attract, convert, close, and delight is what I look at it as. And it's, certainly mostly digital and mostly organic, but there's still definite room in there for advertising. You know, paid ads to get in front of people that never would have seen you before can be helpful, whether it's a Facebook ad or something on Twitter. I even tried an inbound campaign with a billboard. Heaven help me. I don't mean to use those
goodness.
Words, billboard.
like on a street billboard, on a highway billboard?
Yeah, it was in our town.
I don't even
Southwest
see those
Michigan.
Anymore. I mean, seriously, I don't
yeah,
even
I
notice
know.
It. I'm trying not to get hit mm-hmm. by the idiot behind me. I'm not looking up.
Exactly. That's why I think this campaign, I proved that they don't work. So what I did is we're in Southwest Michigan in a town called Kalamazoo. And we have a couple of highways around us, but generally it's, surface streets. So we had a few digital billboards. So it's those, great big LED displays, which are even more distracting as we're driving. But we had a certain thing a message we wanted to get out, to help home buyers and everything. And we had a URL that we could track, very simple one. So it wasn't, a long string of, I can't remember that. It was very simple. And it just, we wanted them to go download a PDF, an ebook, and learn more about the specific program. And, we could look at the numbers of what they projected the eyes were that were on it based on drivers in the area of different billboards, and then look at how many came to our website, which was, a very low amount, and how many of those converted and downloaded the guide, which was only a few. And I think out of those few, I don't think any of them became actual customers. So this huge, investment, as it were, expense into advertising, you can still do it in an inbound way and bring people to you, attract them, and try to convert them. But even that outbound advertising just doesn't seem to work anymore. So
it wouldn't for me. I mean, it really doesn't. I mean, I'm one of those people, I don't listen to radio because I don't want to hear a lot of yak, 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 and I don't want to hear local commercials. I know what toilet paper I'm going to buy at Walmart. I don't need to keep hearing about it. I never understood that. But,
right.
I'm finding, and I'm sure you are, and all of us, who do market online and work with clients who market online, that these days, and you can prove it by walking down the street, everybody's got their phone in their hand. I'll walk into a wall. I'm just telling you right now, I'll walk straight into a wall or in front of a car. So I just don't make that mistake. But people tend to have those phones or digital devices attached to their hands. And that's where we reach them these days, I believe. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Mobile is the now. It's not the next thing. It's the now. And it's unfortunately, and I'm a marketer, so I'll say this about my people. Marketers ruin everything. we find a new tool,
huh?
And we we do.
Overdo
it's
it.
Terrible.
Like those Facebook bots. Just stop it. Don't do this. If I get 5 messages from you, and I don't care who you are, and I know one very well-known marketer who's done this, he is now he's off my Christmas card list. I'm mad. Seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've done the same thing to mobile. We figured out that everybody has a phone in their hand. I heard a stat one time. I want to share this with the audience because it blows my mind. More people in the world have cell phones than toothbrushes.
Oh, God. Oh, you just ruined my day.
Yeah.
Seriously.
You're welcome.
Oh.
Yeah. It's crazy. So you think about everybody has a mobile phone now. So marketers said, well, gosh, we can just put up banner ads. I mean, we used to do advertising in radio with live reads, and then we became TV commercial experts, and then we became billboard experts, and then the internet came along. We did banner ads and pop-up ads and all these different ads, and now we're going to do the same thing with mobile. It's like, stop, stop, stop. It's not a strategy. Be where I am. Make sure your website is mobile friendly. Make sure it has the
right
Google AMP, tool in it, whatever, to make it more user friendly. Make sure that, when I'm mobile on my phone, I may not be wanting to read a giant PDF from your website, but if you have a chat bot that I can interact with, that it's helpful and doesn't message me when I don't want it to, or if, it's something I can look at on my phone and solve my problem that I have, now we have something interesting, and that's where mobile marketing should be going, is think about where people are interacting with your website, your presence online, whatever it is, social media, and what it is that they need from you when they're on their phone. Don't just try to interrupt them while they're playing, you know, Angry Birds or
right.
Golf Clash or something.
And you said something very important. Don't interrupt them. And that's a big thing. It really is. And just for, you know, anybody who's listening who is getting bombarded with these things in their iPhone, Android, whatever it is, Dan just said the word stop. That's how you stop them. You just text back, stop, and you're out. They will have to leave you alone at that point. It's surprising. A lot of people don't know how to make them go away, but just text, stop. Not not stop, damn it. Don't curse at them. Just stop. That's all you need to do. So,
yeah, because it's all automated now. I mean,
it is. You're not reaching a real live person, so just the word stop. Mm-hmm. So I know a lot of people who may be starting out are going, okay, this is a lot of information. Where do I start? Do I start with a newsletter? Do I start with a blog? Do I start with social media? What do you tell people the best place when they're building out a plan to reach people and to share their knowledge? How do you get them to kind of go, okay, I've got this now in a bulleted list. I can see my path.
Yeah, if they haven't started with the buyer persona journey, I would start there. Even if you have your bulleted list and you have what you think your customers look like and everything, truly do some research. There's a bunch of different research, whether it's from, you know, HubSpot or Impact Branding or Kuno. I mean, there's a ton of different agencies and you know, people out there and software out there, Acton software, that can help you through the buyer persona journey. And that's true research and thinking and planning, this kind of thing. So it might take, you know, a little bit of time, but it's well worth it. If you do have that, then I say just look at that persona and see where they are. You know, if your persona is, you know, someone who is on Snapchat quite a bit, then start to explore Snapchat a little bit and see if you can have a voice there for them. If they are doing their research for whatever it is that you solve for them on Google, well, then you better have a website that's optimized with a blog that has constant, consistent, creative content. A lot of C's right there. But you have to have content rolling out so that they can find you. You know, if they do their research through videos, or you have a great tutorial that you can teach them through video, then put it on YouTube and make sure it's optimized for search. You know, search is still a super important part of digital strategy when it comes to marketing, because that's what we do. We ask Siri, we ask Alexa, we type it into Google, we can ask Google. But that's, you know, we go to search to search out our answers. And so you have to be found there. And that's, you know, that's website, that's some social media, that's video. So thinking about, you know, and pick, you know, one thing at a time, right? If you think that blogging is going to be what you do and you want to blog, you know, a new article once a week, great, try it. You know, and use social media to promote a little bit maybe, but try that first. You know, people talk about email newsletters, and they can certainly be powerful. But as you said, Denise, how many do you get in your email inbox every day? When was the last time you actually signed up for one? Right?
And that's so, another thing. You know, boy, when I get one that comes to my personal email address, which I do not give out to the general public, and one shows up in my email address, I know good and well I've been added to a list without permission. And I get a little testy about that. In fact, I get a lot testy about it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Absolutely. So yeah, don't cold call. Don't buy a list. Don't try to hijack one. You know, when I first started with Interview Valet, we wanted to ask a very simple survey to podcast hosts and guests alike. And we
I took that survey.
Cultivated.
I filled it out.
Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it. And we cultivated a list. We didn't buy one, but we did it on our own. And even that was a bit dicey. There were some people that came back and said, "How did you get my email?" Like, well, it's public because you're a podcast host, and we just want to know your opinion. So even doing that, we did it organically, but it was a cold call, and some people just don't like that. So you have to be very careful about that for sure.
You do, and particularly, and I don't mean to sound crankier than usual, but particularly in Well, maybe I do. In these days, we are being bombarded left, right, and center on our phones, on our iPads, and our email addresses. And I mean, we're constantly being assailed by people who want our attention, and God bless them for that. But if you did it in a sneaky, underhanded way, we're pretty attuned to that, and we don't like it. We really don't.
Yeah.
If you want somebody to start out distrusting you, even though they haven't quite gelled why in their mind, stick them on an email, you know, list that they didn't want to be on, or add them to a Facebook group that they have zero interest in. I mean, you do enough of this kind of stuff and you will never get your credibility back. I promise you, you won't.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we talk so often in marketing about ROI, about return on investment, right?
Right.
And that's great, and we should know that. So if you buy a list of 1,000 names and you get 2 clients out of it and they're each worth $10,000 and you only paid $100 for the list, okay, the ROI is great. But what if the other 98 hate you? The negative ROI is so
I would be
important.
On that list. Yep.
Right?
I would
so
be the one going, knock
so
it off. Don't do
absolutely.
This to me again.
And I'd be the one in social media tagging them on Facebook, you know, sharing their LinkedIn page saying, don't do business with these people, they, you know, whatever. Like, the negative ROI is so rarely talked about that I think it needs to be. I mean, if you're going to upset your potential customers or potential evangelists and turn them into negative evangelists, that's a problem. So
it is. And a lot of people, and honest to goodness, Dan, there's somebody out there training people to go to LinkedIn and scrape your email address, because many of us have 1 or 2, sometimes even 3 email addresses in LinkedIn, and start, you know, sending you direct email to your personal email box. And I'm telling you, that happened to me, I mean, practically daily about a month ago, and I think my head swiveled. It was ugly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I felt like an owl. I think my head went completely around and I just went nuts. I went savage on a couple of these people. And they argued, well, you know, it's on LinkedIn. I said, no. You have no business doing this. And she just did not understand that reaching out to me the way she was not her right and privilege. And that's the way she put it. It was her right and her privilege to have access to me. Can you imagine how well that went?
Yeah, no kidding. I'd be right there with
not
you.
Well.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, not well. So my point is no hearts and minds were changed, but I did block her all over social media, so she can't get to me anymore.
But, there you go.
But I had to take time out of my day to go, oh, man, you know, you goofy woman, why are you doing this? So my point and your point that I've heard you make a lot is social media marketing is for the real person. It's not just a formula.
Yeah, absolutely. And I used to say at the mortgage company, we're not going to close a sale off of Facebook. We're not going to bring in a new customer with a mortgage off of Twitter. But what we can do is offer it, – it's a way to deepen a relationship or to help them, empower them to bring people to us through referrals. And that's huge, right? A referral customer – is absolutely golden in almost any business. I don't care who you are. So that to me is what social media marketing is about. It's very difficult, I think. And just as a consumer, I'm one person out of 7 billion on this planet, but my opinion, my experience is I'm not going to buy from Facebook. I've bought one thing from a Facebook ad ever. And that's one more than I ever bought from a TV ad, I think. but yeah, it's not about interrupting their day and trying to, you know, do like what that woman did from LinkedIn, scraping. It's not about that. It's about deepening a relationship or empowering your customers to be your evangelist. That to me is the key to social media marketing.
Oh, absolutely. My business has been since the very beginning, 100% referral based, 100%. I have never done any ads. I've never, you know, asked for referrals. I mean, it just happens organically. But here's the thing, Dan, a lot of people go, oh, yeah, but you don't understand. I've got to make this work right now. Let's talk about that, because, you know, there are steps that you have to take. There are persuasion methods that you have to use, mostly being yourself and being authentic. But let's talk about how long this can really take to build up a business and build up your persona and, you know, create that know, like, and trust thing going on.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big topic.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, anything worth doing well is worth taking your time at. You know, if you're trying to build a business for the long term, it's going to take time for sure. You can do some things that bring pretty immediate results. You know, great marketing can certainly bring quick results. But you have to be patient. It's going to be a marathon, not a sprint. If you're in it just to make a few bucks, then go, you know, buy stuff at a garage sale and sell it on Craigslist or Amazon and call it good for the day, right? that's a transaction.
It's a transaction. I like that.
Right? It's transactional rather than relational. And that to me is what so many, you know, your listeners are looking at it with their businesses. It's a relationship. It's going to take time. You don't ask someone to marry you on the first date, not usually. And that's what marketing is. It's developing a relationship with the ideal customer. And so as soon as they see you for that first time, you don't want to ask them to marry you. You don't want to ask them to take the biggest step they can with you generally. So it's going to take time. Now, what's nice is, you know, tools like Facebook ads, Instagram ads, you can help broaden your reach and build your brand and awareness a little bit through those when they're done well, you know, good artwork, good, authentic, well-written copy, good, clear calls to action. Now, those are good things to have in your ads if you're going to do an ad. You know, we've talked about it at Interview Valet, about maybe getting some ads to reach, you know, new podcast hosts so that they know we exist. We haven't pulled the trigger just because we can't figure out a way to do it well. And I don't want to do it where it's going to be that, oh gosh, what does this even mean? Or that's not funny, or, you know, whatever it is. I want to do it well. And so I'd rather create relationships rather than do an ad.
This is because I know you guys. So what is holding you back? What do you mean you don't know how to do it well?
Well, I want to, so as the CMO of Interview Valet, I want to broaden our reach when it comes to new podcast hosts so that we can see who we are and book guests with us, right?
Okay, back up, Dan, just a second. I led into that wrong. Tell people what Interview Valet is and why you're trying to reach these. They're not going to understand unless we back up just a tad. Sorry about that.
Sure, no, that's no problem at all. So Interview Valet is it's kind of like we're kind of like a PR agency, media agency for our clients. So we have clients who are, you know, authors, speakers, entrepreneurs, software as a service companies, emerging brands, and they want to reach a new audience. And they've decided that it's too noisy and they want to reach their ideal customers. So we have proposed that podcast interview marketing is a new category of marketing, kind of like email marketing or social media marketing. So getting interviewed on podcasts as a subject matter expert reaches an audience who already knows, likes, and trusts the host. So they're going to know, like, and trust you a little bit by default if you have a good story.
Right.
And so,
right. Especially if you are smart enough to bring on really great guests.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And so our whole thing then is, okay, we have these clients and we have great podcasts. How do we get to more podcast hosts so that they know who we are? Because we don't charge the podcast host anything. As a host, you want content, you want quality content, good guests. You're probably not going to pay for guests. It's just a good thing to have guests on, right, as an interview show. So we want to reach podcast hosts and build relationships with them. But if they don't even know who we are, then there's a problem, right? So one of our thoughts was to get in front of podcast hosts in their social spheres of, you know, Facebook or LinkedIn, just to let them know that we exist. Here's who we are and what we do, and you don't have to pay us, kind of a thing, right? But I haven't given it enough deep thought to say, here's how I'm going to do that with an ad. Instead, we do it through relationships, you know, through events where podcast hosts are, and we speak on stages or we go on podcasts ourselves and say, here's what we do. So the bottom, at the end of the day, the bottom line, whatever cliche you want to use, our clients are inspiring thought leaders trying to reach the ideal audience, and we do it through podcast interviews.
Well, and here's my thought, and just, you know, to be transparent, you guys send me a lot of guests, you know. So I am on the PR list for several different companies, and you guys send me guests all the time. Some I can accept, some I can't, but it's always my choice. So my thinking is, why didn't you come to us? Those of us who really love the guests that you send us and ask for testimonials.
Oh, testimonials would be great. Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because we just started maybe a month ago testing where we'd reach out to hosts who do like us and say, you know, we've had a great relationship so far. We appreciate all the guests that you've booked. By the way, here's a free one sheet of 10 tips to be a great guest with your logo on it. By the way, if you have any podcast
friends. I got that the other
day.
You guys have already sent that to me. I did.
Good. So you're in our little test campaign.
All right.
And the ask is,
good to know I'm important.
Absolutely you are. And the ask is, because it's such a small world, you know, if you know any hosts that are looking for guests, just make a warm introduction for us. Just help us out a little bit and say, hey, this person's really good. You might want to get guests through Interview Valet, because it is about relationships, not about ads, right?
Absolutely. Okay, so, well, that's interesting. So you're going to just kind of keep me posted. Once you work this out, keep me posted. I'll be fascinated to see how this goes.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Yeah, all right, one of the big things that I want to talk about is video marketing. I'll be honest with you, I hate it. I am one of those people. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. I don't like to watch videos. I don't watch TV. I don't learn that way. I learn by reading or by listening. And I think that's not common. I think most people do want videos. So anybody who's listening, ignore me. I'm just not the target audience for videos. I'm going to tell you right now.
Right.
But I know they're hugely important. So let's talk about, let's take the next 10 minutes or so and talk about that, because it is important. But you say that it's not voodoo, and I think it is. So convince me.
So I say it's not voodoo because I came from it. So I was in TV news, but I was a producer. I was behind the camera, not in front of it. I didn't, you know, I did some video shooting and editing as well, but I was never the talent, so to speak. When I started with the mortgage company, you know, we knew video was going to be important. So they very graciously bought me the equipment that I needed and everything else. And I said to them, if I do interviews as part of our video strategy, who's going to be the host? Well, you are. Wait a minute, time out. I got a face for radio. I'm not a TV person. This is not going to work. But I did it, and I really enjoyed it. And to me, it was getting over that fear of the camera, I guess. So it's not. So that's where my it's not voodoo part comes from. Now, beyond that, I think what so many people think of as video marketing is basically making TV commercials. And we have to think of it differently. Video marketing can be any communication to a potential customer, a current customer, any kind of a critical business relationship that connects with them in a communication, right? So it could be using video in email. It could be doing a Facebook Live video to just give a few tips, show a little bit of personality. It could be a YouTube video, a culture video of your company if you have a few more than one person maybe in your company. So many solo entrepreneurs out there may not do that. But, you know, it's different ways of using video. It could be using a PowerPoint-type presentation in a video format to teach, almost basically like a webinar but on demand. So there's a million ways to, well, that was only maybe a dozen, but there's a million ways to use video that isn't just a quote-unquote TV ad. And so it's, you know, thinking about what kind of message you want to get out and who's watching it, right? If your ideal buyer persona is Denise Griffiths, then don't use video, right? That makes sense.
Right. I'm not going to watch it unless it tells me how to turn my refrigerator back on.
There you go, exactly. So for some people, video marketing may not be right for them because their buyer persona is not using video. Not a problem. Don't be scared into using it and seeing no results. Now, the flip side of that, though, is so many people do use video to take in content, to ingest content, that at least testing it is probably a good idea because your buyer persona most likely uses video at least a little bit.
Oh, I agree.
So just kind of,
I'm just not the market to watch it. But I think one of the big things, and we'll get to this in a little bit. I interrupted you. I'm sorry. But what are some of the steps to, you know, creating video and tools? So keep on going, and we'll come back to that.
Yeah, sure. I'm a big fan of creating professionally done videos with a videographer, with a professional camera, and good editing, right? Professional editing. Now, however, not every video has to be totally polished and produced. We can look at video, and I'm saying what I said earlier about, you know, video is not just a TV ad. I say that because we can use our phones for video. Facebook Live is video. Instagram has a video platform. Periscope, you know, just Facebook videos in general, YouTube. It doesn't have to be a super produced, way over the top video. It can be relatively simple. You know, if you have 10 tips to using virtual assistants the right way, then, you know, you may want to do a video of one tip per day for the next 10 weeks, for the next one tip a week for the next 10 weeks would be a quarter's worth of video. And it could be as simple as, here's tip number one, you know, XYZ, thanks for watching, and you're done, and it's like 30 seconds. Well, that was easy. That's a video I can look forward to once a week. Or it's a couple of minutes of an interview. How do you use VAs? And you could have a conversation with somebody over video. So there's a different ways to use it. You know, our phones are very capable now of creating videos. Video cameras are so much less expensive now than they've ever been, and much higher quality. And we talk about HD video all the time now. Well, that's standard. You can't shoot video in standard def anymore. It's all high def. So, and it's inexpensive. Video editing software is relatively inexpensive and user friendly. You know, there's still very much a need for skilled editors. They are artists. They are skilled trade, but you can still do some editing without it. And you can do some video animation stuff. There are all different softwares out there to do, you know, whiteboard type animation videos where it's just tips. You know, so if you're not a fan of being in front of the camera, you could download something like, I think one's called Explaindio, and you can download the software and just do a voiceover of, here's the video, here's the script, and then you put in, you know, whatever kind of drawings, and it animates them, so you're never actually even on camera. So there's different ways to use it. There's a lot of software out there, and it's not, I mean, I say it's not voodoo, it's not that scary. For some people it is, and I get it. But, you know, I've given presentations on video marketing in the past where after I talk about it or I show them in my slide deck, people go, oh, it's actually not that hard, I guess, huh? I'm like, no, not at all. Test it and try it. You can shoot a bunch of video on your phone and never release it and just see how it looks, you know, and just test it. So does that kind of help?
It does. I mean, and we're talking about different tools like Camtasia, and yeah, there's just so many different. There's some free things out there. Camtasia is not free, but it's not terribly expensive. One of the things that I have a question about is doing audio to video, just audio. So, for the sake of walking our audience through it, so I'm guessing you can do a PowerPoint, throw it into, you know, some kind of tool, and then add your slides, and then turn it into something for YouTube. So can you walk us through that?
Yeah, in fact, PowerPoint actually has a video creation tool where you can turn you can turn it into a video and just make it an MP4 and upload it to YouTube. You know, I think Prezi has something similar, and it's just, you know, recording your voice as it goes through. There are training softwares, online education software that can do this. And yeah, it's, you know, you create a PowerPoint and you make it so it's visual. There's a few, you know, tips and tricks on them or whatever, you know, bullet points kind of a thing. You put it onto YouTube and put the script into the description so it's still searchable. It's still, you know, content that way too. And then you can use that video in social media. You could email it to people who need it. You could put it into onto your website on a site page or into a blog article. You can repurpose these things all over the place. It's incredible. Yeah, I've used PowerPoint as a tool for that before. I've used Final Cut Pro as a tool for that as well. Camtasia, I've heard, is really good. So there's different software you can use for that. That's a great idea.
Yeah, it's out there. And then there are people like me who would, you know, much rather just have the audio portion of it. So you can cut that out and just, you know, I mean, you can repurpose your content 6 ways to Sunday with just a little bit of thought. I mean, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
and yeah,
I'm one of those people. I want the audio and I want the transcript. The rest of it you can keep.
Yep, absolutely. And there's transcription software now that's getting better and better and, you know, more efficient and effective and less expensive. So that's that's a way to repurpose it too, and use that as an article with maybe a link to the audio. And that's what I love about podcasting. You know, what you're doing, Denise, is great because I can listen to a podcast as I'm, you know, doing dishes or driving or going for a run or something else. Whereas video, and I love video, but video takes very purposeful concentration. If you're showing me something, I have to watch it. I can't do that while I'm driving or while I'm running, right?
No. So. I had a client, he found this cool little nifty tool. I can't remember the name of it now. Excuse me, I need to cough. And, you know, basically he was wanting to communicate with me by him sitting in front of his video camera and, you know, talking to me and sending me this video. And I looked at part of it and I sent him back a note and I said, this isn't going to work. Sorry. I prefer for you to communicate with me either through email or telephone. You know, but I just don't have the bandwidth to sit, stop what I'm doing, and watch even a 30-second or 45-second video. It's taking away from my concentration about something else. But I can listen to something, concentrate on building a website. That's just how my brain works. Mm-hmm. And I know this about myself, so I'm able to communicate with people who will say, oh, I'm going to send you these videos, and this is how we're going to communicate. And I am a big fan of the word no. For me, it's a full sentence sometimes. So you just have to stand up and say, you know, I'm glad that you love this, but it's not going to work for me. Let's, you know, communicate this way. And he knows me well enough not to be offended, but sometimes you just have to say, it's not going to work.
Mm.
And Absolutely. Find another way to communicate.
Yep, totally. And that's why it's so important to know your buyer persona when it comes to marketing, when it comes to building your business, knowing your buyer persona. And if you know that in general, your persona is too busy for video, multitasks too much to watch something, but they can listen. They take in content through podcasting or other means that are audio. And if you know that your buyer persona is that way in general, then you can go, okay, look, video marketing sounds great. Maybe I'll throw up some videos occasionally, but I'm going to concentrate on, you know, SoundCloud, on other ways to get audio to them. That's why buyer persona is so important.
Let's go back to that because you mentioned that at the top of the show, and I think it's important enough that we should revisit it. So how would you tell people to really kind of hone in on their buyer persona or their avatar or however it is that you're identifying who your audience is? What are some of the first steps that they need to take?
If you have well, first thing, ask your current customers. I mean, either ask your current customers about themselves a little bit, either through an online survey or through a 15-minute phone conversation, you know, ask them how they found you, ask them how they take in content, this kind of thing. You can also ask, if you have a sales team or a salesperson, ask them. You just start to gather that research and to really truly think about it too, right? Sit down and think, say, look, I created this service, this product, this business to serve a certain need. Maybe I had that need, so I did it for myself, and now I'm serving others, and so it's this idea that you are your buyer persona. You can start there, then you have to definitely expand and do actual research, you know, surveys, questions, phone calls, this kind of thing. If you just search buyer persona tools on Google, there's a bunch of them. HubSpot's one of my favorite. I was a HubSpot customer for a long time. I'm not anymore, but I love their tools. Content Harmony is another good one. Firesnap. So there's a bunch of different places to tools to help you, templates to help you. But at the end of the day, it's really asking the questions. You know, you have to talk to your actual buyers to find out about them. And then from there, once you have some of the data points, you create a story, a narrative. Maybe have a copywriter come in and help you with it or something, or interview somebody to do this for you. But creating a narrative of, this is my, you know, buyer Bob is generally going to be between 20 years old and 35 years old. He loves to multitask. He doesn't have time to watch video. He drives a ton, you know, this kind of thing. Or maybe he commutes a ton, so he's always on a train, so he can watch video. You know, buyer Bob won't touch Snapchat because that's where his kids are, but he loves to be on Twitter, you know. So there's different ways to
Facebook to really apparently is for old people now. This is what I'm being told.
Hey, I'm there. I'm there too. It's all right. I'm old,
really?
I guess, so I think.
When
But,
I heard
you know,
that, I was
if
like, oh my God, that's like back in the old days when the Beatles were popular. Oh my God. You know, just time marches on so quickly.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a process for sure. And then it's creating, naming them, and you may have two buyer personas, you might have four. It just kind of depends, but be relatively specific. And if things like gender matter, then use that. If not, you can make them relatively gender free and just make, all men and women act the same way when it comes to this particular problem. Okay, great. No problem. But we all research in certain ways. We share things. We look at social media in a different way. So, but yeah, there's, like I said, just search buyer persona tools and you'll find some great ones out there.
That is such great advice. And as a web developer, I get this a lot. You know, one of my very first questions is, who is your target audience? And you know what the answer is. I bet you do. Everyone.
Everybody.
That's right. Yep. And I just wait for it, and then I go, no, it's not. Walk through the steps of how to define who their audience is and, who they should actually be speaking with. But, that just goes to what you just said. Everyone, everybody, they're not your audience. You need to figure out who they are and go where they live.
Mm-hmm. You could use an angler analogy. If you're fishing, there are more fish in the ocean than anywhere else. But if you're not using the right bait, first of all, you're not going to get the fish that you want. Number two, if I said, okay, I'm going to take you fishing on the ocean, we might catch a fish, or I take you to this pond and it's stock full of fish, where do you want to be? Right? Define your buyer persona, know where they are, and go there. Because if you want to reach everybody, good luck.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. And you're going to dilute your message to such a point that you're frustrated and nobody pays a lick of attention to you at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Amen.
So Dan, we ripped right through this 60 minutes. I'm telling you, it's the quickest 60 minutes on the internet. So where can people find you on the web? And be sure to let people know where they can find your book too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I tell you what, for your success and your partner in success listeners, I'm going to put up a page for them, interviewvalet.com/partner.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
And they can, absolutely, they can find me there. My social media is there. My email is there. We talked about video marketing. I'll put up on there the presentation that I've given in the past. They can download that as a PDF, no problem. My book is there, so they can download that or an excerpt at least. They can find me right there, interviewvalet.com/.
Oh, that is brilliant. Thank you so much. I'll share that across social media. I'll check it. When do you think it'll be up, an hour or so? Or no pressure, an hour?
Actually, you know what? It's
5 minutes?
Right now.
It's up
right now. If there's any edits I need to make to it, I'll do that. But, yeah, I'll make sure everything's there. But it's up right now.
Excellent. Well, Dan, thank you so much. It's been a great pleasure speaking with you today. And as always the case, this podcast hour went way too fast. And I thank you for all of the wonderful tips and advice that you shared with our audience. And thank you for the partner page. That's brilliant. So today's episode was sponsored by my company, Your Office on the Web. If you're looking for full-on business creation services such as web development, virtual assistants, online business management, social media marketing, and honestly, pretty much anything else you can think of except coffee. I don't deliver coffee. Please visit yourofficeontheweb.com. And be sure to look for us in iTunes. Just look for Your Partner in Success Radio and take us along on your success journey. Dan, thank you.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity to reach your audience.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on Your Partner in Success Radio.